This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
7:03 a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And I don't want this to come out the wrong way because I have tremendous respect. In fact, I think Ryan Mountcastle might be the best defensive first baseman in the American League. So he deserves to be a Gold Glove finalist, period. I think when you look at what he's done in left field, I have no gripes about Colton Cowser being a Gold Glove finalist. It's going to be Stephen Kwan. I have no problem with Kelton Gowser being a Gold Glove finalist. I don't. What I do have a problem with, Jeremy, is no Cedric Mullins. No Cedric Mullins. And by the way, in right field, you got Joe Adell and Juan Soto.
Man, you guys kidding me, man. Joe Adell and Juan Soto were the best right fielders you guys came up with? And I'm not knocking. Adell's got a strong arm. He's fine. Super athletic. Come on. Like, this bothers me so much. It's like, when Daniel Day-Lewis does a movie, I fully expect him to be up for an Academy Award. No matter what type of movie it is, whatever, that cat just put Meryl Streep, put their names, you just nominate them because right. They're that good. Cedric Mullins should be nominated every single year because he's that good. And again, I'm not even trying to fight for anybody else. The only thing I'm telling you is that Juan Soto should never, ever, 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 ever receive a Gold Glove. Receive a nomination for a Gold Glove. That's absurd.
Yeah.
If you watch baseball, you might think he's one of the worst defensive players in the league. How do you get nominated for the best award for that?
You may think he's one of the worst defensive outfielders you ever saw. He's horrible. Jeremy, when I say I don't understand any... Are you telling me the metrics like him?
Well, you know, like him? But you want to know what it is? Is that because he doesn't get to those balls... He doesn't get an error for it.
So that's why the metrics shouldn't like him. Because he doesn't get the probability, the catch probability, all those things, those don't go into effect?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. They can't, I guess. Like, who's voting for this? Again, are baseball voters the worst voters in the world? Oh, I can't vote for that guy. This guy didn't get 100%. Shut up. Shut up. You're an ass. I mean, this stuff, when it comes down to it, and I guess it may not mean something to those guys, but the acknowledgement should mean something from the league. And I understand, like, again, Rob, this isn't a – if they put I'll use Stephen Kwan since he's won this award before. If Stephen Kwan didn't have the year that he's had previously and he gets nominated, you probably go, it's Stephen effing Kwan. The guy's really good in the outfield, right? That's probably what you say if he had a down year. But when you see names like this that just don't belong – like, there were people last year going – Dalton Varsho, it's like, dude was a catcher that turned into an outfielder. He's unbelievably athletic and really good at his job. Makes sense. Juan Soto sucks as an outfielder.
Here's the problem, though, Jeremy. 75% of the vote comes from the 30 managers and the 6 coaches per team for the finalists.
That's unreal. Are they giving it to him because he got a good arm?
And you're not allowed to vote for your players. And you only vote on players in your league.
Hold on. Did all these guys get together and vote for a guy that they thought nobody would vote for in Juan Soto and he got in?
I don't know.
Is this what happened? Like, did they say, man, I can't vote for my guy, but I want my guy to win. Let's just vote for Juan Soto because nobody's going to vote for him. He's the worst outfielder in baseball. Jesus. You can give him the award. Could you imagine?
And you know what's funny? The headlines by Mike Axis from CBSSports.com. 2024 MLB Gold Glove finalists. Yankees Juan Soto and Phillies Bryce Harper are among 60 nominees. Almost as if he's saying, what?
Yeah. Well, Bryce Harper, again, moving to first base, it's not like he's bad. I think he's actually a decent first baseman. But to be up for a gold glove?
Yeah.
I mean, he was forced to play first base because of the injury.
I got it.
Man.
I got it.
All right.
That's the way in the world. He's a finalist. I love Bryce Harper. I don't like Juan Soto. I love Bryce Harper. And I don't think Bryce Harper is a gold glove finalist this year. He shouldn't be.
I like both those guys. I mean, look, I'd take either one on my team, even talking about how bad Juan Soto is in right field at times. I've never seen a guy misjudge a ball more than he does. I mean, how many times is he taking four steps in when the ball's clearly over his head and then he's watching it bounce around back there? But because he didn't touch it and it didn't come off his glove, we don't give him an error. And I get you can't all of a sudden assume that there's going to be a double play. So sometimes you're not going to get the error for that if you get one of the outs. Right. You know, we hear that. I understand that. But you can't tell me that guy doesn't deserve an error for reading the baseball wrong and not paying attention.
He does. Let's go to West Virginia and get Tony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Couldn't agree with you guys more. I mean, what stands out to me, Anthony Santander has been 10 times more productive, has a better arm than Soto. And he's made some acrobatic catches, you know, in the outfield. And it really started towards the latter part of last year and led into this year. He's underrated as an outfielder. He makes some phenomenal defensive plays, and it kind of gets overshadowed by his production at bat. You know, my biggest issue with Mountcastle, I agree. I think he's a premier first baseman in the American League, but he doesn't normally put together a full season. So that's one of the biggest things I saw as to why he may not get nominated this year, but he definitely deserves it.
Let me go back to something you said about Anthony Santander. How the heck could he get overshadowed by what he does at the plate, but Juan Soto doesn't?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to that question.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said about him defensively, but the excuse for that can't be he's overshadowed by what he does at the plate. When Juan Soto, who's better offensively, is credited for a Gold Glove finalist. That can't be the excuse.
It just doesn't make sense.
Juan Soto is a better hitter in every capacity. But yet, I feel like because of his offensive ability is the reason he's considered.
Am I missing something that these managers would vote for him?
No. I'm gonna inquire a little bit later.
I mean, that he might be the guy that's on the not top 10 more than any other outfielder in baseball and gets nominated for a gold glove.
World is Stupid at 7:30. This may need to go in it, but on the other side, what's trending? MLB playoff recap up next on The Fan.
And this ball smokes center field and deep. That sends Thomas back. He's now circling under it. He's not going to get it. It is out of here. There's the home run for Judge. A high, majestic shot to center field that just got over the wall. And the Yankees now lead it 6-2 as Aaron Judge goes big fly.
You knew Judge was going to do it. That's courtesy of ESPN Radio. You knew Judge was going to do it eventually. You can't keep a hitter like that down forever. He hits a home run last night, pacing the Yankees 6-3 over the Cleveland Guardians. I told you before, I felt like the Guardians were the sacrificial lambs for this thing. I felt like the AL Central, to be honest with you, was the sacrificial lambs. But, you know, they were able to get wins in the first round in the wild card round. Hats off to them for that. But once we got past that, I didn't.
We all said, and again, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I said it. I'd be shocked if the American League representative wasn't New York, Houston, or Baltimore this year. And granted, okay, it's easy to take the three best teams, but I couldn't see any of these other teams making a run. Nobody saw Detroit getting in. Cleveland now going back home. But again, their rotation's not set up the way they want it. And there's too many injuries.
Yeah, way too many injuries. And, you know, I guess this Yankees team, they're getting the job done. They are doing exactly what you expect to do if you want to win a World Series. I can't begrudge them. I can't. They're opportunistic, but they're taking care of business. I'm not impressed by the team. I'm not. I really am not. The only teams that impress me really in this left in this round is a team that I don't think gets to the World Series. That's the Dodgers.
Yeah.
That's the only team that impresses me in this entire round.
Like I said, it's going to be funny when the Mets win the World Series and then steal Juan Soto from the Yankees in the offseason. It's interesting looking at these teams because I don't fear the Yankees the same way you do. I think they're a flawed team, but I would also say, who's not at this point? I mean, yeah, what we saw in Major League, it's the same thing's going on in the NFL. People can call it parody, you can call it a mediocrity, whatever you want to call it. Fact of the matter is, just get in and see what happens. This year, we saw the teams that waited move on. You know, we've talked about this. Whatever happens that year, it's like, oh, I guess it is better to have a bye. Oh, wait a minute. Playing playoff games all the way to the end like the Mets did, it's better to do that. Well, right, it's different for each individual team. You just don't know until after the games have been played.
And for me, I guess you kind of echoed my sentiments. You said, you know, you think they're a flawed team. Yeah, I think every team is flawed. I think the three of the four teams remaining are flawed heavily on the field. I think the best team is flawed at the managerial
spot. You know what's hilarious about this is, in my opinion, the four teams left don't have great pitching, starting pitching. Don't. The Dodgers are relying on Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto, who just came back. You've got the Mets, who their best pitcher is Sean Manaea, and he's been on one this year. But again, if that's your best pitcher, you probably got some questions.
But what do they all have in common? Bullpens.
Fair enough.
That's what gets you to the postseason. Starting pitching doesn't get you to the postseason.
Yeah, but it's different when you have to go to an entire bullpen game, though, because you're using all those pieces. And again, we talked about it early on. You could make it work with all those off days and things. Mm-hmm. Like the kid Smith for the Guardians is pitched in every postseason game except game one of this series. And
I think the Guardians, speaking of them, were smart because what did they do with Alex Cobb? He's hurt. They took him off the roster. You know why? Because they're going to need more bullpen help.
Yeah, they realize it. Whoops. So, again, even if it was like a real injury with Cobb and all the things that we could sit here and look at, it's a good move by them. That's why you see some of the – like people were surprised that Luis Gil was left off the roster in the postseason for the last series. And it's like, well, no, it's not really a surprise. We don't want to put him in the bullpen. They like their bullpen pieces, the way it's set up, the way they've been pitching. And he was on a pitch – not a pitch limit, but or a pitch count. They had a certain amount of innings that he was going to pitch this year, and he went way over that.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Does anything change when this thing goes to Cleveland?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know that this is going to be a sweep. Would I be shocked if Cleveland got back in the series? No, because, again, all these teams are flawed. But scary part is, I don't know if Aaron Judge hitting that home run last night kind of gets him going as he's batted 200 in the postseason. Austin Wells still doesn't have a hit in the postseason between the Royals series and this one. And I got to imagine when you're looking up at that scoreboard and you see zeros, you start pressing a little bit more. The interesting thing is Anthony Rizzo's batting like 430. He keeps getting on base. Where is this coming from? So like,
been there, done that before.
But it's kind of the same deal. You need some of those others. It can't just be the superstars. I don't know how many times we've talked about it, we were talking about early on Toronto and Ed Sprague and what he did, yep, some of the pinch hit home runs that we've seen, guys coming in games. You mentioned the bullpen, how many times they've come in and locked it down for two innings, doing things out of the norm. But the baseball playoffs have been fun if you've been paying attention.
Yeah,
but
a lot of Baltimore has not because they've been disappointed. Yeah. But butthurt.
Mm-hmm.
Walked around butthurt.
That's okay. Because, I mean, it did hurt. Maybe not in the butt, but it hurt, Rob.
Shovels at 8:15 right now. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Congratulations to Colton Calder and Ryan Mountcastle for being finalists for Gold Glove. Who was the most underrated Orioles this past season, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too.
You mean defensively?
I think he means in general. Albert Suarez.
I like that.
The most underrated Oriole of the year.
By the way, did it play out true what I thought, that they didn't want him to start a postseason game unless he had to?
Oh, I knew you were right. I just wanted to bust your chops.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
it played out that way.
Trust me, I'm not pulling out the extra arm, pat myself on the back, but I was intrigued by that because if you're looking at the situation, he puts a lot of guys on, and it's a hard guy to manage in the postseason because you got a quick hook.
One thing you don't do in the postseason is put guys on.
Yeah, you'll see how quick they'll take, maybe fake an injury. So you're looking out the mound. God, there was a kid there the other night. Was that for the Guardians? I just like, man, please get him out the game. You could see he's just shell-shocked. Yeah, he had the other kid, Canteo, come in and throw four wild pitches in an inning.
Yeah, it's dumb.
How the hell does that happen?
Jeremy Kahn, what you got on that World of Stupid?
Yeah, we're going to have some fun here, some interesting stories. This last one I can't wait to read to you. We're going to hear about an event that happened where there was undercooked meat that left 10 attendees with face swelling. I'll tell you what type of meat was undercooked. How about a phys ed teacher who was cop of the month was moonlighting as a Long Island pimp. He ran two brothels. We'll talk about that. And there's this little story about a British man that was born with three penises. We'll talk about that as well in the World of Stupid coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All right, here we go. Let's start it off with the story about undercooked meat left 10 attendees of North Carolina mountain event with face swelling, said the CDC. It was a parasitic outbreak that left at least 10 people with facial swelling last year. The cause? Undercooked bear meat served at a mountain affair at North Carolina. Now, my whole family, they're all hunters, right? Yeah, they all hunt everything. You give them, they'll shoot anything. I didn't get into the whole hunting scene, but I still respect people that hunt for their food.
I hope you do.
And I feel like
you ain't no vegetarian.
No, I feel like too. I'm willing to try anything, but I don't know why anybody would want to eat bear meat. I heard it's tough. I don't know if it like.
Oh, you know someone who's eaten it?
I know people that've eaten it. Yeah. But bear meat. Ugh. Undercooked bear meat infected 10 of the 22 attendees.
I eat bear meat to let that bear know who's boss.
I got you.
You ain't really above me in the food chain. That's why I'm taking a knife and fork to you right now.
So it's a rare parasitic disease known to cause a fever, severe muscle aches, and swelling around the eyes. Although trichinella, is that right? Trichinella, I guess. Infections remain rare. Thousands of bears are harvested each year in North Carolina, said the CDC. A lot more people that eat them than you think. I know my dad had a bearskin rug, and I think he tried it once he killed one. He also had a scary situation, if I remember it correctly, of a bear climbing a tree when he was in a tree stand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think he put that thing down. But anyway, bear meat, Joe, have you ever tried bear meat?
You think he killed the bear?
When he crawled up? Yeah.
Unlike you, you pissed your pants.
Me?
Yeah.
He killed the bear that was going up the tree at him?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of badass. No, I'm not eating bear.
You'd have pissed your pants.
You've eaten bear
you'd
ass.
You'd have been, like Jonah. What's the guy named Jonah?
You missed that. How'd you miss that, Rob?
I eat bear ass. I heard it.
You are what you eat, you know?
Yeah, it's in season. You know, is it still in season? I don't know. Anyway.
I've been caught one a lot just because I eat a lot. Go ahead.
You know who definitely has had bear meat? Mike Bordick. I bet he loves bear meat. God. He seems like that kind of guy.
Mike Bordick would be a caveman who definitely went out and hunted and ate all the food before he got back.
That's right.
Mike was eating all those testicles, I think right off the animal, just bit it off. That's how much of a man he is.
Man.
Just bit it right. Bordy, settle down. I hope he hears about this in Texas. Phys ed teacher, who was cop of the month as well, moonlighted as a Long Island pimp for a ring that ran two brothels. This is unbelievable. A school teacher and a veteran police officer named Cop of the Month, moonlighted. He's a pimp on Long Island prostitution.
He's a school teacher and a police officer?
Yep.
How's that?
He was, because he retired as a police officer, former Cop of the Month.
Oh, so he's not a police officer now.
And then picked up, some work there being a phys ed teacher. This duo, Stephen Ari Airy, 53, and George Trimaglizioza, yeah, sure, 55, worked as managers at Holbrook Brothel, dubbed the American Girl Spa, collecting so-called house fees from sex workers, hiring prostitutes, and posting ads to entice Johns. Area phys ed teacher, worked in Islip for 26 years. And the other guy, Trimaglizioza, was Suffolk County Police Department cop for 18 years. These two guys, it's interesting, though. Like, you think about somebody being in that industry, you know, or I shouldn't even, being a police officer, and then this is what you get into afterwards. You know, like, there's a lot of people that claim this guy's dirty, that guy's dirty. Hell, I grew up with a cop that ended up being dirty. And it's just, it's kind of crazy to go back and look at it. I think this is what gives a lot of people pause when it comes to, hey, I'm supposed to trust this guy, but yet he's doing illegal things. Running a brothel. Yikes.
Yeah.
Last story here for you. And it's got three parts. They're all penises. British man discovered to have three penises. Experts say he's the second case of triphalia ever recorded. This happened in Birmingham, England. Man who was born with three penises is only the second person ever to have this strange deformity. Just one of the three were functional, according to doctors who published the extraordinarily rare case of a condition known as triphalia. The other two were attached with the skin of the scrotal sac, which houses the testicles. If you guys didn't know that, Joe, the scrotal sac houses the testicles.
This is news to me.
Yes. The 78-year-old's condition. He's 78? They just now found out?
No.
78-year-old's condition was only discovered after he donated his body to science upon his death. It is believed that he may have gone his whole life without being aware of this remarkable anatomical variation. Like, he didn't know he had three wieners. Well, the other two that small.
Yes, yeah, that's.
Do you buy rubber gloves instead of condoms?
Moo.
What? No, because I mean, you
said. No, I like your thinking. Yeah. I like this thinking outside the box
before you get in it. Yeah.
Do they have lambskin gloves? What if you can't use latex?
Feels just like a regular glove. Yeah, it's feels like you're not wearing a glove at all, Joe. That's what it is.
How do you not know, man, you have three?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I guess because of maybe he didn't look at other people's. You know, he wasn't meat gazing.
He went his entire life thinking, wait, you don't have three penises either? Yeah.
So how did that conversation start? Which one am I going to use today?
Yeah.
And what do you mean, which one are you going to use today?
Which one do I have to pee out of?
Somebody,
I really got to
no,
go.
No, because how old is he?
Well, he was dead, 78.
So, come on. He's had kids, or at least went through the motion of having them. Somebody had to have told him that's not right.
Well, here's a little bit more on it. Here you go. One in every 5 to 6 million boys is born with more than one penis. Did you know that?
Lucky boys.
With just over 100 cases of diphalia, two penises recorded worldwide.
That's a hell of a name.
Yeah.
How can you fail?
One case in India went viral in 2015, but experts could not verify the tale because it was never detailed in the medical journal. The first case was confirmed in a report in 2020 where the unidentified boy from Iraq, was just 3 months old. Urologists found neither of the extra penises had a urethra, the tube that the urine passes through, and decided surgery was the best option. All right, so there's not enough detail in this article to really let you know. Are all three for you? Who just complained? Did somebody just complain to you, Joe? No. Can you use all three? Or, are the other two just dead?
I have a feeling it's kind of like when someone finds out they have a third nipple, but it doesn't look like the other, like Marky Mark has a third nipple, but it doesn't look like a normal nipple. It just looks like a mole, and that's what you think it is. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay.
Lily Allen has the triple nipple. The singer? She's got a double
one. Yeah.
A double. Okay. And it's, I mean, I've seen it. It's interesting. It's her nubbin.
I'm just saying. I don't think that it's just like three elephant trunks.
You don't think it's just flopping out around
there? No, I don't think it's like that.
Like, okay, if they're all different sizes, can I pick the biggest one?
I'd be really interested to see how, they need to go in a lot deeper in this, anatomically. How did it connect to the rest of his body? Did the other two just hang off, and then the main one was connected to everything else?
But it sounds like in a lot of these situations.
Do you have two little ones poking out of, protruding from the main one?
Fingers?
Yeah.
I told you that's why you got to wear a glove.
Your chicken's foot.
Check out my talon.
Let's hope not.
I mean, I guess technically he is a real tripod, right?
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like from reading this in most of these situations, if not all of them, that I guess one is only for use. The other two don't have any type of function is what it sounds like. And maybe that's why these guys don't realize it. But again, I mean,
I don't understand how you don't realize it.
Maybe you don't see it. Maybe it's not as big as you think. Like technically he has those parts, but you can't see it.
How did he find out?
The doctor told him when he died. You got three. Oh, man.
They could tell me that while I was alive.
Well, I don't know if you wanted to know, because then all of a sudden you'd feel differently about yourself.
What do I care?
I mean, if they're all 2 inches long, do you get to say you're 6 inches?
Can you
add it up?
Oh,
I'm just asking for a friend. Okay. I don't know. Like, it's just kind of a weird thing. By the way, scientists are still baffled over the cause of this and why it happens. The technical name for the extra members, they call it supernumerary penises.
Supernumerary.
I just like the fact that penis is plural. It just, you get the, it's more than one.
Peni?
Yeah, that's what I thought I'd be saying. That's why I was like, why isn't it peni? Anyway, that's your world of stupid.
Oh boy, Todd Koppelman joins us at 8 o'clock. He's glad he didn't join us at 7:30 because he did not want to be part of that conversation. But on the other side, after some trades yesterday that the AFC East put the rest of the league on notice, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:46 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Trying to get us to work an extra hour? Sorry, ass.
The amount of times I'm called a sorry ass on this show. It's a good thing my self-esteem is turned up pretty high.
By the way, it is funny, too, like the longer you work with someone, because I know you, like, I'm learning terms, grand rising, and I'm sure there's probably some things that I say that you're like, what the hell does that even mean? I think I dropped one. You knew the gravy train on biscuit wheels.
I knew that. Yeah. I hadn't heard it in a while.
Just a great one.
I hadn't heard that one in a while. Yeah. Gravy train on biscuit wheels.
You're on a gravy train with biscuit wheels. Why would you screw this thing up? Just keep it rolling.
So, speaking of keeping it rolling, Buffalo Bills trade for Amari Cooper. The New York Jets trade for Devontae Adams. And it's all the talk because these are two prominent wide receivers around the National Football League. But Jeremy Cotton, I got to be honest with you. Buffalo did not trade. That trade did not put them in the echelon of the Ravens or the Chiefs. In that order, Ravens, then Chiefs up higher. And I don't think the Jets trade put them in the on the level of the Bills.
It feels like the Jets trade feels like it's a week or two late, right? Like. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. And again, I'm not saying they can't get into the playoffs. The AFC, if you look at it, is just a cesspool. It's Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston, and then you figure out what else. And this isn't me dismissing Buffalo, who's leading their division. But again, they could have easily lost that game on Monday night and been 3-3 sitting here going, we were just 3-0. What the hell happened? Uh-huh. But you look around the league, there's a lot of that going on. We just went over this yesterday. Like, how many actual good teams are there in the AFC? And the three I listed are the ones that always come up. And then we go, I think Buffalo should be in there, but I don't think they're on the same level as those teams. I don't know if the Jets should be. I don't know if the Chargers eventually get there, if Miami gets healthy again, whoever. Or even if it's Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. But that's who you feel comfortable talking about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just don't. The two trades that are splash trades, but with neither team in my worried, man. I'm glad we got Buffalo out of the way right now because I would be afraid of Amari Cooper. I'm not. I don't feel that way with those.
But they needed some. The problem that Buffalo had was Khalil Shakir looked really good, but you didn't have him playing in the role that he probably should be playing in. And now everybody gets to kind of take that step back and go back to where they, I don't want to say where they belong, but where they best fit. And Amari Cooper, again, I don't think this guy's done. I just think Deshaun Watson is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play. This year. And again, like, it's the funny thing. So they're obviously selling off. So Cleveland's not trying to make a run to the postseason, which, surprise, I don't think that caught anybody off guard. What do you do if they start tanking and they wind up with a number one or number two pick? Are they drafting a quarterback?
Oh, Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You've got this quarterback locked up for so much money for a long period of time.
So.
I think you need to just eat it and just, like, scrap a season. Just say screw it. Or find some other way, find some loophole in that contract to get out of it.
Well, the lawsuit is dropped.
Yikes.
So you don't have that. Cleveland's probably thinking.
Well, that was, I didn't want to say, you know, frame a guy, but maybe that's the loophole in the lawsuit or in his contract. Like, all right, here's what we're going to do. But they're stuck, man. And his numbers, Deshaun Watson's numbers are off the charts, ridiculously bad. Like yeah. I'm talking worst in the history of the league bad.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Cleveland does. But I think Amari Cooper, like, I'm more intrigued by Cooper to the Bills than Devontae Adams to the Jets. Even though I think Adams is a far superior player, I just think that really, the Bills needed a possession guy to, like, it's third down. Who's the guy I'm looking for
right.
alongside Dalton Kincaid?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it. I'm not saying it's a bad trade.
No, no.
I just don't think they put the league on notice. They didn't put anybody on notice. I think the Bills put the rest of the AFC East on notice.
See, and yes, exactly. And I think, too, well, they kept up with the Joneses. You see Devontae Adams get traded. By the way, it was, I got to admit this, Aaron Rodgers being on the Pat McAfee show, it was pretty cool seeing Devontae Adams walk up behind him and go, hey, and everybody's like, wait a minute.
I thought it was corny.
I liked it.
I thought the opposite. I thought, oh, come on. Seriously?
Surprise.
No.
Would he spend the night at his house?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. What's going on here?
Well, maybe they had bunk beds.
What's going on here?
Rodgers got to be on top.
Why are you here? Obviously, no one answered. He didn't answer the door. He was on camera the whole time.
He said, Rodgers said he didn't find out that the trade happened until 12:45 at
night.
Yet
he's at his house.
He said he called him.
He flew. I mean, this
He said Adams called him and said, hey, I'm getting traded. I'm on my way to New York.
You got a place I can stay? Sure do.
And
my one bedroom apartment.
In a related story, he is okay to play after the hamstring injury.
He just got healthy.
Yeah, the trainers said you're good to go.
He gave him a shout out saying, "Yeah, the people in Vegas, they kept me right, so I'm feeling a lot better. I'll be ready to go on Sunday."
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Damn,
man, come on, dude. Hey, look who's standing behind me. Oh, my God, it's Devontae Adams.
Oh, my God, when did you get here?
Who knew you were here? Who let you in?
By the way, my favorite one of those, did you ever see when Chris Rose was doing, I think it was Intentional Talk, and Brian Wilson, the old closer for the one with the dark beard, had the long beard, if people remember, for the Giants?
Yeah.
So he was doing an interview, and he had a guy in an executioner's outfit that looked like he was in some serious S&M stuff just walk by in the background, and Chris Rose goes, whoa, what was that? What was that? And then Brian turns around and goes, what? I didn't see anything. Like, just to kind of get him going. I thought it was one of the funnier things. And the look on his face, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he just had some random dude dressed up like the Gimp from...
But see, that's different.
I get it, yeah.
That's different. This is, hey, my new teammate, who's my old teammate, who's, hey, he's here. We just found out about this trade.
I can't wait for Rodgers to go on a permanent dark retreat, and I ain't got to hear from him ever again.
And on the McAfee show, though, it said Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl champion, 4-time MVP, ayahuasca enthusiast.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
This is going to be more of a S show in New York. It is. Because now, you know, Garrett Wilson's not going to like this.
Well, it's going to take some pressure off of him.
No.
I'm not.
No, now I feel like the lady in
And Get Out?
Get Out.
No. Let me stir my tea.
This is not what's going to happen. Let pressure off of him. What are you, stupid?
You know, she's from Maryland.
Are you stupid? Let pressure off of him.
It does. It gets him. He's not the.
He's a wide receiver.
I'm not telling you.
How you look at it and how he looks at it is two completely different things. How is he looking at it right now, Jeremy?
What?
How is he looking at it right now?
I want the ball.
Exactly.
Please.
You brought your ex here. You invited the ex.
Hey, Garrett. Hey, Aaron. Who that bitch?
You invited the ex. And then you're going to be sitting over there smiling and kidding and joking with the ex. And I'm standing here.
Can I tell
Come
you
on, dude.
What I loved and what's going to piss me off now watching it on the Jets? Is Aaron Rodgers just looking over at Devontae Adams and throwing him the ball right off the line and seeing him pick up 8 yards every time? Whoop, there you go. It's like, it's that easy? You can do that? I want to see if it's still there. But if the Jets right now, I think if they don't have success moving forward, and I don't know if that means getting to the playoffs but winning more games, I think that falls on the quarterback a lot more. He doesn't have any excuses now.
Mm.
Mike Williams can't run the wrong route because I don't think he's going to say Devontae ran the wrong route.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, man, this is not good.
And you know what's sad? Like, Aaron Rodgers could be telling 100% the truth on that he ran the wrong route. But why would you say that after the game? Just to kind of, oh, if he runs the right route, we're here. No, throw the ball to Breece Hall, you jackass. He's wide open in the flat.
This is like when Joan and William were walking in the park on Girlfriends, and Joan saw her ex-boyfriend, and she ran up to him, and she never introduced her William to her new to her ex-boyfriend, and William got upset.
I've been there.
That's what this is. That's what this is. Shovels at 8:15, but on the other side, Todd Coppermans joins us. I'm going to ask him to break down the Baltimore Ravens as they get ready to go on a Monday Night Football journey to Tampa on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.